Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is just a beautiful morning here. I'm so looking forward to returning face-to-face and online as well. But, you know, there's something about being in the presence of God. And I tell you, the future is bright. There's so much ahead for us as a church. Hey, Adam, thanks so much for your communion message. That's so good. Man, I hope you got that idea, that seed, that surrender, that whole idea. And I'm going to keep preaching on that theme. You look like you read my notes, but, you know, that's what God does. There's a really powerful message this morning for you from the Word of God. So let's launch right in there, hey? Lord Jesus, I'm praying over this word from you, from John 12, that would deeply impact us, it would change us, it would move us, and there would be fruit because of it. Bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's the season for planting things, isn't it? Tomatoes, beans, I don't know. What have you got? Have you got a little pot of herbs? What are you growing? What are you getting ready for the next season? What are you planting? It's a season for planting. I love it. Rowan and I have been planting all kinds of things, trees and vines and even seeds that, you know, fruit trees and all kinds of things. It is a wonderful season. Now, I know in Bathurst that you're not allowed to plant tomatoes until Melbourne Cup Day because of the frost, you know. But some people sneak ahead in their greenhouses. Rob Hatton, I know what you're doing out there. Dan, I know what you're doing, getting ahead. But you see, tomatoes are the best, aren't they? If you walked past a tomato, now let me tell you a little story. It's called the parable of the tomato. You heard that one? You may not find it in your Bible, but it's kind of there. And it's about this tomato, which was, I think, Roma tomato. You know, the kind of really beautiful, a little bit elongated, bright red. Now, this tomato was the most just beautiful tomato you've ever seen. And it knew it. And this tomato was on the vine going, I'm the best. I am the greatest, I am the most beautiful, I'm the reddest, I've got the best shape there's ever been. And he starts thinking, I wish I could get more of people like me, more tomatoes like me. Wouldn't it be awesome if the whole vine was filled with them? In fact, this whole row of planting, wouldn't it be awesome if they were all beautiful red tomatoes like me? So he starts thinking, how can I do this? How can I become successful and reproduce myself so that there's lots and lots of people like me or tomatoes like me? And he consults a very wise tomato teacher. The tomato teacher says, this is what you need to do. You need to drop off, shrivel up, and become tiny, tiny black shriveled bits that look like dirt. You're going to need to get someone to push you into the ground, and then you will have success. Now, the tomato goes, hang on, Mr. Tomato Teacher. I'm not so sure. Like, shouldn't I just kind of get bigger and bigger and become a tomato influencer? And just by my greatness, people will see and they'll be inspired. But the tomato teacher said, no, the only way is to go down, to shrivel up, and be pushed into the soil. The tomato's going, no, no, no. Like, I get it, carrots and lesser fruits, and things, they get pushed in, and not the tomato. And tragically, this tomato would not let itself do that, and somebody ate it. And that's the end of the tomato parable. See, it was a tragic ending. You see, it's so true that the way to reproduce, the way to become great
is by going under. Jesus says in John 12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." He's talking about seeds. He's talking to a farming community who understood that unless you push seeds into the soil, they will not reproduce. They won't grow. They won't flourish. In fact, it's so important to get seeds into the ground. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. If you leave a grain on your windowsill, it's not going to grow. It has to be pushed into the earth, surrendered. But Jesus goes on. He says, whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. There are many people who are so proud of their own lives and love their own lives that they actually end up losing it because they don't consider themselves to be able to be multiplied and reproduced. And Jesus says, if you hate your life, now careful with that word, because you've got to look at the rest of Scripture, which doesn't say we have to hate ourselves at all. It's an exaggeration. But he's saying that unless you kind of disregard parts of your world, you will actually keep it for this life and for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant also be. And if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now this is wisdom. I want you to see something so profound here. It's so simple and so profound. And this actually sets up the whole next stage of Jesus' life. In fact, this little passage speaks, it's a kernel of truth, if I can use that word. It's a nugget of truth that actually shows Jesus' life. You see, what Jesus is about to go through in just a few days' time, he's going to go through the Garden of Gethsemane, where he has to surrender. He has to dig himself into the ground and say, not my will, but yours be done. He has to face the brutality of the Roman soldiers when they're beating him and probably half drunk and arrogant and they're beating him with sticks and putting a crown of thorns on his head, and he's suffering that. He's allowing himself to go through that. He's getting ready for the cross, the ultimate humiliation, where everybody will jeer at him and laugh at him and mock him and scorn him, because he's allowing himself to go into the ground. Literally, he goes into the grave. See, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground, it remains alone. It doesn't reproduce. What if Jesus didn't allow himself to do this? You see, Jesus has reproduced himself times billions. It's incredible. That seed which he sows into the grave is reproduced every time somebody receives Jesus into their life. That's called being a Christian. There are billions and have been billions of Christians on the planet because Jesus allowed himself to do what the tomato wouldn't, and be buried and suffering with worms and dirt, soil. But when you're resurrected, when there are vines that come up, when there's life that springs up, there is great power and great multiplication. This is so exciting. This is the way to live. It exemplifies Jesus' life so well. It's the way of God. His way has always been through the sea. His way has always been following. His way has always been surrender. Nothing's changed. It's still the same. Going under succeeds. Surrendering your life to Christ gives you the ultimate success in life, which is reproduction of God's glory. Let me teach you a few things. Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. It's a promise. So what do we do with that promise? What does that mean? What does it mean I have to die into the soil? What does it mean that I have to kind of surrender? What does it actually look like? Here's some ideas on that. It's a daily decision to put Jesus first. It's a daily decision to walk after the ways of Jesus. And sometimes that cuts across our own personhood. It cuts across our will, our desire. But here's a really simple thing that I think we can all follow really well. See, Jesus says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. So what would it be like if we surrendered each part of our world to Jesus? Have a think for a moment. What would it mean to live in our heart surrendered to God? Our heart is what we desire. It's our will. It's the seat of desire. It's what I want in life. You know, you set your heart after something. It's what I want in life. Now, can you imagine what would it be like if you set your heart to follow Jesus? And when you come across something that you really want, but it's contrary to what you think God wants, and you choose what God wants, that's surrender. It's saying no to the things that maybe naturally we might want, but we know that it's not going to help us in life. So we set our heart after God's things, and we say no to something, and we chase something. That's surrender. And that, this is the promise, that will bear fruit. See? You like the tomato that just was eaten. If you just follow after your own world and your own desires, but if you set your course in life to follow God's ways, it might look for a little while like you've been pushed under the soil, like you've been buried with worms, but watch that promise. It's a promise. If it dies, it bears much fruit. If your heart's desire dies to the things that you want and you chase the things that God wants, you will bear much fruit. There's a promise. And so your life becomes of way more significance than just by being following your own will. You see? That's to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then he says, love the Lord with all your mind. That's what you think about. It's what you allow through the filters. What do you give yourself to think about? What occupies your mind most of the day? What's on your mind when you wake up? What do you allow to give yourself? And again, you can give yourself to think about things that are not healthy. Maybe it's revenge and bitterness. I'm going to get back at that. Tell you, if you surrender that thought, say, you know what, I'm going to forgive that person instead of, you know, getting all irritated, that is surrender. That's a seed in good soil. That seed will bear fruit. You see? What do you give your mind to? What do you watch on TV? What do you let filter through the things? What do you watch? What do you allow your internet searching to drift to? What things that maybe you think about that, you know what, it's not always that healthy. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, think about such things. Dwell on such things, it says. And you'll find that as you think about things and say, no, I'm not going to think those things. I'm going to think good thoughts and godly thoughts and pure thoughts. That's like a seed that you plant in the soil. Guess what? It will bear fruit as a promise. This could revolutionize your world. What about your soul? Love the Lord your God with all your soul is what will fulfill me. It's my ultimate fulfillment. It rests in the very center of who I am. It's my soul. What's going to fulfill me in life? Is it finding the best person to marry? Is it the dream job? Is it this beautiful new house I'm going to do? Is it my career that I'm going to follow? Is it study and education, pursuing, thinking? All those things are good, but if we make them our soul, if we make our worth and our self around those things, they're like that tomato that will just be eaten and lost. I tell you, if you want to be fulfilled by Jesus. Let your ultimate meaning and purpose be found in knowing him and loving him. And you will find, again, it's like a seed. You know, sometimes you have to put some things aside to follow Christ. I'm not going to chase that job because it's going to be contrary to, I'm not going to, this person, lovely, but you know what? She doesn't love Jesus, so why would I chase her? Surrender. Put those things aside. Surrender your ultimate fulfillment in knowing Jesus. And you can live anywhere. You can be anything. And you'll still be fulfilled. And your life will bear fruit. This is so exciting. Love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. That's what you give yourself to. Your physical strength. It's what you do. It's the actions that you take. How can you love God with your actions? What can you do to serve people and love them and step outside? Sometimes, you know, sometimes again, there's a cost to that, isn't there? Oh, I just want to sit in front of the TV tonight. And sometimes that's good. But, you know, sometimes there are people who could be benefited from you just giving them a phone call. What are you going to give yourself to? What are you going to give your physical body to? Sometimes saying no to something and bearing that thought will reproduce fruit. I tell you, this is a promise. And it brings joy. Every step of surrender, every step saying no to yourself brings joy because you've got ultimate success and ultimate freedom. I'm going to get the musos to come up on stage as we wrap up because I want to take a moment to pray for you, right where you are. Don't go away. In fact, this is a sacred moment. It's a sacred moment of surrender. And we're going to start singing Holy in the background because it's a holy moment of surrender. And there's two parts of surrender here. For some, you're holding out on God over something. There's decisions to make. There's things to do. You feel like God has called you to do something, but you're holding out saying, nah, it's going to be too costly. I'm going to be buried with the worms. I don't want that. But unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. You've got decisions to make around what you have to do or don't do. You've got things to... Let's sing. You've got things on your mind that you want to think about, but you don't want to stop thinking about those things. You've got people to forgive, but you don't want to forgive. You feel like there's one thing right now that you're holding out on God for. If you just took that step and said, I'm going to do that thing. I'm going to deal with that thing and I'm going to do it God's way. There will be fruit. I guarantee it. That's the word of God. That's the model of Jesus. That's the example of how the Most High God gave us life. It was through surrender. It was through being buried. It was through being subjected to humiliation. It was choosing to follow God's ways, not His ways. And I tell you, there's so much fruit from that. And every time you're faced with the choice of should I follow my own path or should I follow God's path, that act of surrender, that act of obedience, I tell you, it brings the greatest fruit, the greatest joy in the long run. It might take time to get there. You might not see it straight away, but it does happen. It's the way of God. Right now, take a choice. Surrender. Take that thing and say, no, I am not going to go there. I'm going to follow God's way instead. What is it for you? And there are some listening right now. You haven't surrendered your whole life to Christ yet. Now, what that means is that you intend to surrender everything. But, of course, you can't do it straight away. It's just a step. We go, Lord Jesus, I am going to surrender my life to you. Take my life. I give it to you. And I know that I'm trusting my life into safe hands. And that life might look different. But as I get buried, there will be beautiful shoots of fresh life, fresh fruit, fresh growth, fresh joy, fresh energy. There will be a glorious display for the kingdom of God. If you've never done that, if you're holding out on God from your own perspective, take a moment right now to say, God, I surrender my whole life to you. And I got to live my life out of you, fully yours. Let me pray for you for a moment. Lord Jesus, I surrender. I surrender. I take the things that I want to do and I give them to you and I follow your path instead. I take the thoughts, the attitudes, and I give them to you. I take my will, I take my strength, I take who I am and I give it to you. And Lord, let me be buried, but let life flow. Let life be resurrected. Let good things come out of everything that I've sacrificed. Jesus, take the thing and just name that before Jesus. It might be your whole life. Or it might just be a thought or an attitude or an action or a word or choice. You will see new life come, but it's going to be good. It's going to be God's life. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.